Welcome to The Lay Disciple. Tom Murray has been teaching a series of lessons on angels. In today's lesson, we'll learn about the six different forms of fallen angels. And I hope you'll join us each day as we learn important lessons from God's Word. Now here's our lay teacher, Tom Murray.
Well, welcome back to The Lay Disciple Studies, and we are continuing our series on the fallen angels, or what are more commonly referred to as the demons. And we looked last time at the Old Testament names that are used in your Bible for these fallen angels. And today I'd like to introduce you to the New Testament names that are used. And you remember that your New Testament is written in the Greek language originally. And the names come from the root in the Greek for what they used as the term for demon or fallen angel. Now, the word in the Greek from which the word demon actually comes has a root meaning of intelligence. And the reason that was chosen was because demons or fallen angels are intelligent beings. And that particular root usage that means intelligence is used 79 times in your New Testament. Now, from that basic root word that is used for demon, there are a total of six different forms used to describe these fallen angelic beings or demons. Now, the first of those six forms is used in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 31, and it is the word daimon, D-A-I-M-O-N in the Greek. And the word daimon in the Greek actually means evil power. Now, the second form that you'll find in the Greek New Testament is the word daimonion, D-A-I-M-O-N-I-O-N, daimonion. Now, this is the most basic word, and it means, or it is used a total of 63 times in your New Testament. Now, one example of this usage of daimon is in Luke chapter 4 in verse 33. Now, the third form of the Greek root word for demon is the word daimoniodes, and that means demoniacal. It means demoniacal. But that word, demoniacal, is only used once in your New Testament in the book of James in chapter 3 and verse 15. Now, the fourth form that comes from that original Greek root word is the word daimonizomai. Daimonizomai, which means to be controlled by a demon from within the person. Now, that particular form is used a total of 13 times, and you'll find an example of that in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24, where someone was controlled by a demon from within. Now, the fifth form that comes from that Greek word that is used in your Greek New Testament is they say diamones teros, and that means to be very reverent to demons. Now, what that emphasizes is the occult world, or what we would call the occult practices, and that word too is only used once in your New Testament, in Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Now, the sixth and final form of the root Greek word for demon is the word deis daimonis, which means demon worship. Now, it too is strongly connected with the occult world and the worship of demon spirits, but it too is used only once in your New Testament in Acts chapter 25 and verse 19. Now, the second category of names that is used of demons are those that contain the word spirit in your New Testament. Now, the word spirit used to refer to demons is used a total of 46 times in your New Testament, and there are five different names given in conjunction with this category called spirits. The first you'll find in passages like Luke 7:21 and in Acts 19 verses 12 to 16, where it speaks of an evil spirit. But again, the term is spirit here, not a demon. Secondly, you have the term an unclean spirit, and you'll find that used in passages like Matthew 10:1, later in chapter 12, verse 43, then in Mark 1:27, later in Mark 3:11, in Mark 5:13, in Acts 5:16, Acts 8:7, and lastly in the book of Revelation in chapter 16, verse 13. Now the third word that comes from spirits referring to demon is the term wicked spirit, and you'll find that in Luke 11, verse 26. So what we have here is an evil spirit, we have an unclean spirit, and we have the term a wicked spirit. But the fourth usage is a seducing spirit. It actually is pluralized in 1 Timothy 4:1, seducing spirits, plural. And the fifth name that involves the term spirit when referring to demons combines the word spirit and demon and makes them the spirits of demons in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 13. So you have the first name for these fallen angels, which is demons. The second name for these fallen angels is the term spirits, and there are five titles there. It is the evil spirit, the unclean spirit, the wicked spirit, the seducing spirits, and the spirits of demons. But there's a third name that's used for these fallen angels or demons, and that word is actually the word angel. Now, the word angel in the Greek actually means messenger, and demons are referred to as angels because they are the messengers of Satan, and they actually carry out his message and his will. So you will find demons referred to as angels or messengers, in passages like 25:41 and in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. And the fourth and last name for demon in your New Testament is the word destruction. Now, this is the name for the demon of the abyss, which is in the center of the earth, and you'll find him referred by that name in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11. His Hebrew name, that is in the Hebrew language, is Abaddon, A-B-A-D-D-O-N, but his Greek name is Apollyon, and those are his two referral names. Now, whether you use the Hebrew or whether you use the Greek name, the meaning is the same. This is the demon or fallen angel called destruction. Now, there are those who claim that demons or fallen angels do not actually exist, just as they claim that holy or unfallen angels do not exist. So we would have to apply the same test to authenticating that demons do exist and that they are more than merely emanations or influences or powers. Some people say there is no such thing as a literal, physical, tangible demon as a personality. The concept or idea of demons is just an emanation or an influence or some sort of non-material, non-personality power. But does the Bible actually teach that demons or fallen angels are real personalities? Well, we remember that there are three essential ingredients to personality. If it can be proven that all three essential ingredients of personality exist in these fallen demonic, or these angels called demons, then we would have to conclude that they do in fact have personality, and therefore they are personal beings, not emanations or influences. Now, the three attributes that we have to set out to prove is that do fallen angels or demons, as we refer to them, have intellect, and do they have emotions, and do they have a will? Well, our first question would be, does the Bible indicate that demons have intellect or a mind? And of course, the answer is yes, and we can find that in six different ways in the New Testament. First of all, if you look in Mark chapter 1 in verse 24, you'll find that demons know who Jesus is, and they say, "We know who you are." Now, to know who Jesus is requires intelligence for them to actually know something. Secondly, in Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, we find that demons or fallen angels actually know their own future doom, and in that case, the demons asked Jesus not to allow them to experience what they knew would happen to them in the future. Now, the third proof that we have is that in Acts 16:16 and later in Acts 19:15, you have cases where demons clearly declared to audiences that they knew Jesus and they knew Paul, but they didn't know some of the other people in those particular cases. Well, for them to know Jesus and to know Paul certainly indicates intelligence. Now, the fourth proof that we have comes from James chapter 2 and verse 19, where we are told that demons know that God is one. When James says that our God, while he exists in three persons, is essentially one, he says in chapter 2:19 that even the demons know that. And then the fifth is that demons have a counterfeit system of doctrine. And I'll have to give you that verse reference and pick you up right there in our next broadcast. I hope you'll stay tuned. You need to know as much as you can about these enemies in your life during your journey home. See you in the next broadcast.
Thank you, Tom. If you'd like a cassette copy of this program or you'd like information on one of our Bible studies, call us at Truth Seekers Fellowship. In Memphis, the number is 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call us toll-free at 866-685-3385. I'd like to also encourage you to visit our brand new website at www.milktomeat.org, where you'll find helpful information, ministry tools, and even audio files of the radio programs. And parents, make sure you give the address to your college students. Students can enjoy the web and the programs right here at www.milktomeat.org. Now join us again next time right here for The Lay Disciple.